Hallelujah. I want to talk today about heavenly visitations. Heavenly visitations. And on the back of your bulletin, you have a place to take notes. And today, to get through all of this, we're just going to give you, in some cases, just tell you where the scripture's at. So write it down. You can look it up later. Father, I ask now your blessing and your anointing upon me as I bring the word, Father. Speak through me today the word that you would have spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 28 says, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And of course, this is the instance where the angel appeared to Mary and began to tell her that she was going to conceive a child. And that child would be Jesus. And he would be the Savior of the world. That she was going to bring forth the Messiah through her womb. Hail Mary, favored art thou among women. In verse 9, Luke chapter 2, says this, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Now in this particular instance, the Messiah, Jesus, has been born in a stable, in a manger in Bethlehem. And shepherds, it tells us, are abiding in the field. And they're looking out, and suddenly an angel appears to them and begins to explain to them that Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, has been born in Bethlehem. And suddenly it says, there appeared unto them a multitude of heavenly hosts and sing praises unto God.
Amen.
Those were two instances recorded in the New Testament. And I would say two instances of a number of instances that were recorded in the New Testament of a heavenly visitation. You see, before the angel even appeared unto Mary, an angel appeared and said that John the Baptist was going to be born in a different place, different spot. And then he appears again, not only to Mary, but then later to Joseph, and says that this child that Mary is going to bring forth is of the Holy Ghost. And it's the Messiah. Three instances right there of heavenly visitations. Throughout the Old Testament, there are numerous cases of visitations that came from the heavenlies. And currently, there's a lot of talk about angels. A lot of talk about the revival that's going on in Lakeland, I believe it is, Florida. Todd Bentley. Angelic visitations. And I'm not going to speak pro or con on that this morning. But I wanted to discuss heavenly visitations because we do have heavenly visitations. We also have other types of visitations as well. There are even a number of books out on the subject of angels. In fact, I've been in some bookstores that had probably more books than I could count about angels. And there are some folks out there who worship angels. So there's some books that are good and some books that are bad. Some are really kind of far out even. So I want to talk about angels and heavenly visitations. The word angel actually comes from a Greek word, angelios, which means messenger. That's what an angel is. It's a messenger. And I do want to point out sometimes in Scripture, when God is referred in the Scripture where it says an angel, it is speaking of a messenger. And it may be somebody just like you and I that God has made a messenger, because the Greek word for messenger is angelios. But angels are messengers from God. They are sent by God to do specific things. And they have a variety of tasks, which we'll discuss a little bit later. And God tells us in the Scripture that there are a number of kinds of angels. But the angels have been with God since probably before the creation of this earth. Since probably before the creation of this universe. The Bible doesn't tell us when God created the angels. We only know that He did. We also know that one of the angels that He created rose up against Him and was cast out of heaven. Took a third of the angels with Him. As I said, sometimes the Bible uses the word angelios for ordinary people who carry messages. And a reference here is Job chapter 1 verse 14. Again, that's Job chapter 1 verse 14. And Luke chapter 7 verses 24. And chapter 9 verse 52. Ordinary people were messengers. Carried a message. Sometimes the prophets were referred to as angels, where they carried a message. Isaiah 42:19 and Malachi 3:1. In Malachi 2:7, a priest is referred to as a messenger or an angel. The church leaders in Revelation 1:20 are sometimes referred to as angels. They are messengers of God. But the term angelios or angel generally describes a whole range of spirits whom God has created, including, as I said, both good and evil angels. And they fall into special categories such as cherubims, seraphims, and the archangels, such as Gabriel. It talks about the archangel Gabriel. Lucifer, Satan, was an archangel. The one who decided he could usurp the power of God and would be as God. Angels are mentioned at least 108 times in the Old Testament and at least 165 times in the New Testament. It's a lot of mentions. Angels appear in the Bible as men. With the possible exception, and let me back up before I go on further with this, because a lot of time when we see pictures of angels, they're always feminine. You see the little statuary of angels? It's almost always feminine. Now, men, you may think some of these ladies are angels, and that's all well and good, but we're getting misled a lot here when we see all of the statuary that always has the angel as a female. There is only one instance in Scripture where it refers to what appears to be an angel as being female. And I want to read that to you here in Zechariah chapter 5, verse 9. Again, that's Zechariah chapter 5, verse 9. And it says, Then lifted I up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heavens. So, most of the depictions we have of angels are not correct. And I know a lot of us think back to the TV program that was on for so many years, Touched by an Angel. Almost all the angels on there were female. You know? But yet when the Bible talks about angels, it's exclusively except for that one verse refers to them as male. And it also goes on to tell us in another place that basically angels are without sex. They're a spirit being and they appear sometimes as men. And yes, they could appear sometimes as women. I'm not saying they can't appear as women. But they really are neither male nor female. So, there's only that one place where it refers to one as possibly being a woman. Since angels are spoken of and appear unto men at least 273 times in Scripture, then surely they must still appear unto men today. And I have to stop right there and say that sometimes we and all of our sanctimoniousness and all other kinds of religiosity that some of us try to have, as we want to sometime take some of the things of God and throw them out the door because we don't want to have to deal with them. We have thrown a lot of things, I think, out the door that the early church practiced that we don't want to deal with because, well, we don't want to deal with it because it was Jewish. But yet God said to do some things. And there are a lot of things that God talks about that we want to really kind of ignore or sweep under the carpet. So can we have heavenly visitations today? Well, I don't know about you. I can only relate knowledge that I have. People I've talked to, people I know, people that this has happened to. My mother grew up on a farm in Savoy, Arkansas, which is probably about 16 miles, something like that, from the city of Fayetteville, Arkansas, which is where the University of Arkansas is located. But when she was a kid growing up, it was a very rural area. In fact, Savoy is still a very rural area today. It's a wide spot in the road. But on this farm, there were two houses. The one house that she and her parents lived in, and probably 50, 70 feet away was another larger house, which some of the other family members lived in. And there was a big walnut tree, I believe it was a black walnut tree, that was between the two houses. And I remember as a kid playing under that tree. And my mother had a cousin who I don't know her age. I don't remember she ever told me her age, but she was quite young. And when I say quite young, I'm thinking that probably she was maybe around Abby's age. 11, somewhere in that area, maybe a little bit younger, maybe a little bit older. And she'd been out under the tree one day. She goes into the house and she tells her mother, "I want to go home." And her mother says, "But you are home." And she says, "No, I want to go home." And her mother says, "But you are home." And she says, "No, I just saw Jesus out there underneath the tree. And he said, I'm going home. I want to go home." That was in the evening. 24 hours later, sometime within that 24 hours, she had gone home. She had a heavenly visitation. And she went home. I had an uncle, his name was Wayne Cook. And I don't really remember how old he was at the time, but I would have to guess that he was probably in his maybe early 40s at the time. And he developed colon cancer, I believe it was. And at the time they discovered that he had cancer, it was so far gone that really, there was nothing medically they could do for him. So my Aunt Jean, who was his sister, they sent him home, and he went and stayed at her house. And I remember him talking about to them one day. He says, "Well," he said, "you know, Jesus came into my room last night." And he said, "I'm going home. Anytime now." Within 2 days, he had gone home. He had a heavenly visitation. My dad, in 1982, actually I believe it was probably 1981, was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. And he probably was in about the second or third year of the disease. A disease which is always terminal. Unless God intervenes, it's always terminal. And he was still at the stage, though, that he could do some things. He could still walk, still do some other things. And he was in the hospital for some tests. One evening, he's laying in his hospital bed. In fact, it was the evening before Memorial Day of 1982. And he sat up in bed, got a big smile on his face, and reached out his hands and lay back down and went home. He had a heavenly visitation. And I think I probably told you of the time that our car broke down on Interstate 40 just east of Albuquerque, New Mexico. And at that part, you're starting up a very steep hill. It's midnight. It's raining. And my knowledge of mechanic involves knowing how to open the hood. And in some of the newer cars, I'm not quite sure how to do that. And if I can get the hood open, the only thing further I can do is tap on stuff with a screwdriver, because I have no idea what I'm doing. I pulled over to the shoulder. It's midnight. Traffic zooming by. Nobody's stopping to help us. But within moments of the time we pulled over, a pickup truck comes bouncing down a little side road that I didn't even know was there and pulls to a stop. Man gets out, walks over, says, "Your thermostat's stuck." Took the radiator cap off, walked back over to his pickup truck, and pulled out a 5-gallon bright red jerry can. Now, for some folks, you know what that is. That's a gasoline can. And comes over to my car with a bright red gasoline can. What's he going to do? I don't need gas. I just put gas in. And he pours water from that gasoline can into my radiator. And says, and I believe, if I remember correctly, 5 miles up the hill, there's a shop. There's a man there who will fix your car. Climbs back over the little fence that's there, gets in his pickup truck, and is off down the road and out of sight. We start the car, and 5 miles up the hill, it stopped raining some. There's a garage that's open. A man working there. We go in and tell him what the problem is. He says, "Well, I wasn't expecting to have anybody come in here tonight, so I didn't even bring my tools. Do you have any tools in your car?" How many of you remember a company, you guys remember a company called Finger Hut? Yeah, okay, some of you ladies do too. I had a very cheap set of tools from Finger Hut in the trunk of my car. And I said, "Well, I've got this." He says, "I can do it with that." And we sat in the car while he fixed our car and took the thermostat out, and he says, "Well, it's summertime, you won't need this till winter." California, I really didn't even need it in the winter, but you know, threw it away. He says, "You're okay for now." And we went on our way with no more problems. I believe, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that we had an angelic visitation. Because I said, first of all, how many people carry water in a gasoline can? You know? If it had been something else, it might have been gasoline in that can. It might have been whatever needed to be in that can. One I want to relate to you that I read, and this would be somebody that probably everybody here has heard of, knows by name, probably not personally, but by name. And recently I read a book by Stan Toler, who wrote a book titled, "The Buzzards Are Circling, But God's Not Finished With Me Yet." That's a pretty good title, huh? The buzzards are circling. I feel like that a lot lately. The buzzards are circling, but God's not finished with me yet. And on page 124 and 125, he relates the homegoing of Glenn Payne, who sang with the Cathedral's Quartet for so many years. And I want to quote from that book, and he says, Van, that's Glenn's wife, Van told me how Glenn left this life. Glenn would come in and out of consciousness and look wide-eyed toward the ceiling and around the room as if he were looking into eternity. I can just imagine it. Wow. And that's what it says. Glenn would say, wow, as he viewed the other side. He was having a visitation. Stan goes on to relate, as Glenn went home, he was singing, what a day that will be. And when he got to the part, when he takes me by the hand, and that was it. He went home. He had a visitation. Not in my notes, but my father-in-law, who passed away just a couple of years ago. Well, I take that back. It's been more than a couple of years ago now, but he passed away. The person who spent the night there in the room said he talked to somebody in that room. He says, I know he was talking to somebody in that room all night long. He was having a visitation from God. He was having that visitation as he prayed, as he spoke in tongues. And I know some people will say, well, he was just out of his head. No, he wasn't out of his head. He was having a visitation. God had sent an angel to visit with him. Get ready to lead him over to the other side. You know, that's one thing that I believe beyond the shadow of a doubt, without any doubt in my heart, that when we have to cross that Jordan, as some people call it, when we have to cross that, we don't cross it alone, because God sends someone to escort us across. We don't go through some tunnel by ourselves, but God sends an angel to visit with us and take us by the hand as we go through that place. Leads us there. We have that heavenly visitation. God comes and welcomes His children home. I preached one of my cousin's funerals a number of years ago. Her name was Barbara Maupin. And Barbara, at that time, was probably, I'm guessing, was in her 50s. And at the time, she went home to be with the Lord. And she had polio when she was a girl. And then she had some form of arthritis as well, which made her drawn up and her hands were kind of curled sometimes and all these things. And she, for in her younger years, could walk a little bit with, you know, hobble kind of, but got to where she couldn't walk any longer and things like that. But she always had a smile on her face, and she was always talking about how good the Lord was. And one of the things I always remember, she liked poodles. And she would get these poodles and little toy poodles. She'd always teach them how to pray. You go to their house and she'd show you how her dog could pray. And she was always upbeat, thankful for what God had done. A lot of people would have been miserable, but she was thankful for what God had done. And I remember, as I preached her funeral, I believe God inspired me to say these words, because as I preached her funeral, I got up to say the very first part of my message. On such and such date, whatever day it was that she went home to be with the Lord, there was a buzz going around the angels of heaven. Excitement, as they were saying, have you heard? Barbara Maupin's come home. I believe God cares so much about His children that He sends somebody to lead us by the hand. That song is not some wishful thinking. It's fact. God sends someone to lead us home. We have that visitation in our life. God visits with His children, and a lot of times we don't even realize it, what He's doing. And I know some folks would say, well, now you've told some interesting stories. But the Bible is full of stories of God sending angels to bring deliverance, deliver messages, and in some cases to strike down the wicked. Again, I want to give you some examples. You might want to write this down, because we don't have time to go into all of this. He talks about angels are sent for worship and praise. And the main activity of this is portrayed in heaven in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, and Revelations 4 through 5. Again, that's Isaiah 6, 1 through 3, Revelations 4 through 5. Revealing, they serve as messengers to communicate God's will to men. They helped reveal the law to Moses, it tells us in Acts chapter 7, verse 52 and 53. Acts 7, 52 and 53. They served as carriers of much of the material in Daniel and Revelation as they came and spoke to Daniel, revealed God's will unto Daniel. They were guiding as they gave instructions to Joseph about the birth of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1 and 2. To the women at the tomb, to Philip in Acts 8:26, and to Cornelius in Acts 10:1-8. God shows angels used to provide physical needs such as food to Hagar in Genesis chapter 21, verses 17 through 20. Again, Genesis 21, 17 through 20. To Elijah, as they provided food to Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 6. Angels, we're told, ministered to Christ after His temptation in Matthew chapter 4, verse 11. Again, that's Matthew 4, 11. They're shown as protecting God's people, keeping God's people out of physical danger, as in the case of Daniel and the lions. His three friends in the fiery furnace, Daniel chapter 3 and Daniel chapter 6. Now I want to refer just briefly to the friends in the fiery furnace there. Because you see, when the king looked down into the midst of the fiery furnace, he says, I see one who is clothed as if he were the Son of God. I don't know, did he see an angel or did he see Jesus himself down there? Amen. I don't know, but God sent a heavenly visitation there and took care of His children. And they emerged from the midst of that fire without even the smell of smoke upon them. I know when you get around heat, it singes stuff like your hair. It gets hot enough. I have a bad habit of when I light my grill at home that I get the hair on my arm singed, and that's a terrible smell. You know? There was no smell like that because God had sent a heavenly visitation. Delivering, getting God's people out of trouble or out of danger once they're in it. The angels released the apostles from prison in Acts chapter 5 and repeated the process for Peter in Acts chapter 12. They're sent to strengthen and encourage as they strengthen Jesus after His temptation in Matthew chapter 4. They encouraged the apostles to keep preaching after releasing them from prison in Acts chapter 5 verses 19 through 20. And told Paul that everyone on his ship would survive the impending shipwreck in Acts chapter 27, verses 23 through 25. Heavenly visitations. Answering prayer. God often uses His angels as a means of answering the prayers of His people. Daniel chapter 9, verses 20 through 24. Chapter 10, verses 10 through 11, through 12. And Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. And here's one we've already been talking about a little bit, but it's in the Scripture. caring for believers at the moment of death. Where it says in the story of Lazarus and the rich man, we read that angels carried the spirit of Lazarus to Abraham's bosom when he died. In Luke chapter 16, verse 22. You see, there's biblical proof right there that God sends His angels to escort us to the other side. Because He cares about us. And I don't care who you are. And I don't care how much of a super Christian you may be. Death can be a scary thing. And every person, when they are faced with it, and they know it's going to happen, there's that sudden, feels almost maybe like a hand grasping their heart, that little twinge of fear that the natural man has, because the natural man is afraid of death. Oh, your spiritual man may not be afraid of death, but your natural man still is scared to death of it. What more can I say? The natural man is afraid of death. God sends His angels to relieve that fear. And we can go peacefully. Why is it, in studies that have been done of people who were dying, that people who were known to be born-again believers went peacefully, smile on their face, and those who were definitely known to be sinners went kicking and screaming? Yes, they may get a visitation as well. I don't know. But they may get a visitation that comes and drags them to the pit of hell. I don't know. It's possible. It's likely. Visitations. Hebrews chapter 13, 2 tells us, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for hereby some have entertained angels unaware." We don't know in our lifetime if we've entertained angels. Sometimes we may get an inkling of it that we have, but we don't necessarily know. And maybe some of you have thought later, well, hey, I may have entertained an angel there. There was a lady that attended our church that we were associate pastor at in California in the 1970s. And they were involved in an automobile accident on, I believe it was the Santa Ana Freeway or one of the freeways there, and it was rainy and traffic was bad, and she noticed this man directing traffic around the accident. And the police came out, took the reports and everything, and she said, "Well, I'd like to thank the man that directed the traffic and kept the traffic away from us." And the policeman looked at her and said, "What man?" He says, "There's been nobody here directing traffic." She had a heavenly visitation. As that angel took care of God's people. I mentioned earlier that a lot of books out, and some of them want us to worship angels. Here's what the Bible has to say about that. It says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." Now I want to read it in the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, "Don't let anyone deny you the prize by insisting that you engage in self-mortification or angel worship." If somebody tries to tell you you need to worship an angel, then you better get up and run the other way. And I don't care who they are, if they say you need to worship this angel, you need to bow down on your knee before this angel, then you better get up and run. Because the Bible says we are not to worship angels. And you can't trust every angel. Bible tells us 1/3 of them are not good angels. I don't know how many that is. Because we have no inkling how many angels there are. One person wrote that he estimates that there's probably one angel for every human being that's ever lived. Could be. I don't know. I don't even want to try to guess. But we know from what the Bible says that one third of them went bad. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 warns us. It says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ with another gospel, which is not another, but there is some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And I want to stop right there for just a moment. There are people who try to take the gospel of Christ and pervert it. And there's a lot of that going on. But though we, and he's speaking of himself, Paul, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. If any angel comes and preaches a gospel to you that doesn't back up with what's in this book, the Bible says, let him be accursed. Because it's not from God. God will not go against what He has in His Word. And if somebody is preaching a gospel to you, something to you that is not backed up by this Word, then it is to be accursed. Stay away from it. Now I know we can have some disagreements over the interpretation of some things. And that's something else. But we got people who stand up and they'll start to preach to you out of the Word, and then all of a sudden they'll get onto something else that you cannot find it anywhere in this Word. And that's going on today. The Bible tells us in the last days there would be those who would come and preach a false gospel. And they're not going to get up and have the whole thing false, because that'd be pretty easy for us to spot. But they're going to weave it into the pages of this gospel here and try to make you swallow it unawares. I'll read that same chapter verses to you again in the Jewish Bible. It says, I am astounded that you are so quick to remove yourselves from me, the one who called you by the Messiah's grace, and turn to some other supposedly good news, which is not good news at all. What is really happening is that certain people are pestering you and trying to pervert the genuine good news of the Messiah. But even if we, or for that matter, an angel from heaven were to announce to you some so-called good news contrary to the good news we did announce to you, let him be under a curse forever. We said it before, and I say it again, if anyone announces good news contrary to what you received, let him be under a curse forever. And of course, the Bible tells us that Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15, I'm going to just read this to you out of the Jewish Bible. It says, the fact is that such men are pseudo-emissaries. They tell lies about their work and masquerade as emissaries of the Messiah. There is nothing surprising in that, for the adversary himself masquerades as an angel of light. So it is no great thing if his workers masquerade as servants of righteousness. They will meet the end of their deeds. They will meet the end their deeds deserve. What's telling us here? Hey, if they're the enemies of Satan, not the enemies of Satan, if they're the agents of Satan, they're not going to play by the rules. They're not going to get up and say, oh yeah, the devil sent me. No. They're going to tell you a big fat lie. They're going to tell you what they think you will want to hear and what you will want to receive. As I said, we need a heavenly visitation. We need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Peter in Acts chapter 11, verse 15, he's talking here and he says, I begin to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. And Paul writes in Acts chapter 19, 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. We need that heavenly visitation. We need that visitation of the Holy Ghost in our midst. We need a visitation from God. We need His outpouring in our life. Now, I know there may be some people who pray and beseech God that God would send an angel to them so they could see an angel. Well, that might be kind of neat. You might also get scared half to death. Me? I'd rather never see an angel in my life than have one sent to me, one come to me that was the wrong kind. God will send to us what we need if we let Him. We will have a heavenly visitation. And no, we may not see an angel physically, but God will send a visitation to us. And there's one story I forgot that I should have put in the other thing, and I want to just tell you this one real quick as we close here this morning. My teenage years, I attended a church in Bell Gardens, California. It was Full Gospel Assembly of God in Bell Gardens, California. And in the 1970s, they decided to remodel the building, and they enlarged it by adding on to each side. They didn't make it any higher. They just made it wider. And they built the building to seat a specific number of people. And time went on, and a couple of people in the church began to talk. And they said, "You know, I saw an angel in the church. And he was up in the corner up there, by the balcony, in the ceiling, up there." And a couple of people repeated this story. They had seen an angel up there. They just didn't understand. If there's an angel here, why is an angel up there? Why isn't he down here? Why is he up there? I don't know who it was, but somebody in the church decided maybe they better check out some of the structure. And they began to check out the roof structure and found out there was a broken beam just where these people had been seeing that angel. You see, the angel had been holding up the beam, or the roof would have collapsed. So they quickly got in there and made the repairs that were necessary to replace and mend that broken beam. But God had sent an angel to protect those folks during that time. And they would have never known to fix it if some of the folks hadn't seen the angel up there. So sometimes God lets us see an angel. We may never converse with them or anything else, but to warn us about something. And that was a warning angel in that case, also a protecting angel, you know. But if you think you're going to see an angel like you did on, you know, Touched by an Angel or some of these things in the movies, forget it. It's not going to happen that way. But God will send us a heavenly visitation if we're open to a heavenly visitation. And I care about a heavenly visitation from the Holy Ghost. Yes. That's what I want. I want a heavenly visitation in this place. I want there to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this place. I want us to have such a heavenly visitation that when we go and we sit down, we're actually sitting on the lap of a heavenly visitor here, because we're having to share space. Because I believe that God can move in this place. Or wherever we end up. I'm looking forward to a move of God. Father, I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your Word. And Father, I thank You for the heavenly visitation. I believe that You are going to send this place and this people. And I'm looking forward to it, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just raise our hands and worship the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus.